Thanks, Nick. Morning, everyone. I've been given the title Walking in Step with the Spirit, and a passage from Galatians 5, verse 25, which says, "Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Now, today I don't intend to spend a lot of time going into what this verse means. I want to talk about my experience of the Holy Spirit, the church's experience of the Holy Spirit, and how that is really, really important today. So I'm going to be a bit of an agent provocateur, a bit of a stirrer this morning. It was a week ago I was chatting to Graham Reed, and we reflected how the church we were born into in the 1970s and 1980s, he was in Sussex, I was in North Yorkshire, the charismatic movement which we were birthed into, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, was front and centre of what was happening. Each service, there was opportunity for people to come forward to be filled with the Spirit, as well as for other things. There was ministry was very important, and actually it was part, very much part of the warp and the web of the church. So what's changed? Because I think as I look at the church in the UK today, and I travel around quite a few of them, we have become nominally charismatic, i.e. in name only. We sing the songs, we wave the flags, we stick our hands in the air, but that's often as far as it goes. And actually, to sort of like misquote Paul in his letter to Timothy, we have a form of charismatic worship, but deny its power. Yeah! Thanks, we've heard a few amens for that, that's good. I think it's really important that we don't just play lip service to this aspect of ministry in the Holy Spirit, but actually we're engaging in a topic over a long period of weeks which should actually transform us as human beings and as followers of Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, his followers, to be filled with the Spirit, to give them the power to be the missionaries and the witnesses that he required them to do in this world. He'd already taught them in Luke 11, verse 3, that God is this great good Father, much better than a human father, who longs to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Interesting. The need to ask. Not automatic. Paul was keen that Christians understood that they needed to be constantly filled with God's Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be being filled is the actual literal translation of that, as we know. And he contrasted that with being drunk, being intoxicated. Now, if you've ever known what it is to be drunk, you basically, your tongue gets loose. You start to say things. You talk in a way that you wouldn't normally be guarded. You basically are much more kind of like, they used to call it Dutch courage, don't you? You're much more brave about confronting things and taking things on. You know, it's Dutch courage. Hey, you know, I'm going to get in there. And the contrast was, don't be intoxicated by a worldly spirit, but God's Spirit gives you the power to speak and to go beyond your fears. In fact, you know, Paul talked to Timothy and said you had to stir up the gift that had been given to him when he'd had hands laid upon him. Stir it up, fan it into flame. Timothy had to do something with what God had invested in his life when hands were laid on him. And he said, that's because God hasn't given you a spirit of timidity where you hold back, where you haven't got Dutch courage, where you're afraid to say anything, afraid to do anything. But he's given you a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. This is important stuff. Barry Manson on Facebook recently had this quote from John Stott. Now, John Stott was not a charismatic or Pentecostal Christian. He was an evangelical. But it's very interesting what John Stott wrote. And all evangelicals should prick up their ears to this. What we need is not more learning, not more eloquence, not more persuasion, not more organization, but more power from the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we need to go from information about this to impartation, from knowing about the Holy Spirit to asking God, our Heavenly Father, to fill us with His Spirit constantly. Otherwise, we're just on a paper exercise. We're just paying lip service to this. So I ask some questions of myself and I ask them of you today. When were you last filled with the Holy Spirit? When did you last ask your Heavenly Father to fill you with the Holy Spirit? When did you last stir up the spiritual gift in you? Because being filled with the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra or an add-on in our life. It's God's command and will and grace gift to you as his sons and daughters. So what does it mean to walk in step with God's Spirit, which is the title today? I mean, the idea of walking with God is a metaphor for how life should be lived in Jewish thought. You see it at the very beginning, Adam and Eve walking with God. You know, this place of harmony, this place of perfection. In a perfect world, humanity is walking hand in hand with Father God and enjoying life in the goodness and the grace of God. Our lives were to be lived as a journey with God. This is Jewish thought, this, who leads and guides us. Now, you see that in the Old Testament played out in the wilderness wanderings where God takes them through the wilderness. Even in the patriarch's journeys, Abraham, you know, journeying on to find that place of promise in God. This is a metaphor that's played out in Genesis and actually was a thought that the Jews held strongly. We kind of lost it a bit. Walking suggests we're on the move, that we're active, that we're going somewhere. Walking with the Spirit suggests that it's God that's taken us on this journey, that actually it's a walk of faith. I know sometimes it feels like a walk in the dark. It does to me. It will do to anyone who takes this seriously. We don't always know where we're going to end up. And walking in step with the Spirit suggests that we have to keep pace and time with God. We go at his pace and in his time. So how do we do this? Well, I mean, it's not easy, is it? It's easy to say it. It's another thing to do it. And there's some simple things that we all have to do, like put God first in our lives. Following Jesus says we deny our own self will, our selfishness. We take up a cross to say, that's dead to me. And we obey God's ways and will in our life. We live a good, righteous life before him. We don't need a prophetic word or a tingle down the back of our spine to live well. We just need to follow what God's asked us to do. And in all your ways, Proverbs 3 verse 6, if we acknowledge him, he will direct our path. So if we're living a good life, if we're living a righteous life, we are open to the possibility and should be able to walk in the paths that God has laid out for us. Secondly, we do it by listening to him and then obeying what he tells us to do. I think it's very interesting, 1 Samuel 3, where this young child Samuel is in this place, this sanctuary, Shiloh, and he's taught by an old priest to say to God as a three-year-old or four-year-old, a very young child, speak, your servant is listening. What are we listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of the Spirit? Because if you want to walk in the Spirit, we have to be attuned to what he is saying. Now, Jesus said in a passage in John 10 that his sheep, he's a good shepherd and we're his sheep in that sense, hear his voice. Now, I've worked on a farm. Shepherds don't know exactly what the shepherd's saying. They can't speak English. They don't understand English. They don't understand every word you're saying. But when the shepherd calls, oi, 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 don't even use English, most of them, you know, come by, that's the sheepdog, by the way. But all you do is stand by a gate and just make a noise like that. I know, I've done it. And the sheep prick up their ears and they come to the shepherd because they know the shepherd's either going to feed them or take them somewhere or look after them. They respond to a voice. We don't always clearly hear what God's saying to us, but we should be able to hear the, whoa, over here, whoa, like a dog, of course. You know, we should be able to respond to his master's voice. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says these words, when you turn to the right or to the left, and we do that at times, I get very distracted in life. Probably you do. You're going to hear a voice behind you saying, this way, walk in it. Now, I've never heard God speak to me audibly. But it's that inner voice. It's that prompt. It's that stirring. It's that nudge. It's that idea that suddenly comes into your head from nowhere that you've not even thought of before. It's the same inner voice that convicts us at times that we're doing wrong, because we all feel that, that also is communicating with us, prompting us and nudging us into other areas. And sometimes, you know, we kind of like hear the voice of conviction and we think, oh yeah, we know that's wrong. We recognize that as maybe God speaking to us. Why can't we recognize God communicating with us when he's nudging us to do something else? Somehow we struggle much more with that. We walk in step with the Spirit by putting God first in our life, denying our own way, following him, by listening to him, and then being obedient to that nudge of the Spirit, and by keeping in step with the Spirit. Timing is key for us as Christians. Some of us hear something and we rush on ahead. We're going to make it happen. It's there and then. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's what God wants us to do there and then. And I think Habakkuk, if you read the book of Habakkuk, it gives us a really good pointer on this. He says, look, you've heard God. You've got a clear vision, but it's for an appointed time. It's not for now. Hold on to it. Wait patiently. It will happen, but not yet. The other thing we don't keep in step with the Spirit is we lag behind. And I don't think this is a judgment on any of us. But I think the truth is, sometimes we might miss that moment that God has opened up for us. The Kairos moment, the moment where heaven, Kairos means a divine appointed time where heaven touches earth. There is a time, said Ecclesiastes, for every purpose under heaven. And actually, if we're too far behind, sometimes we might miss it. If we're too far ahead, we might have gone beyond God. Keeping in step with the Spirit. Loving this camera's having such fun this morning with me. keeping in step with the Spirit is keeping pace with what God is asking us to do. But it transforms your life. Eric was talking about transformation last week. It changes your life's direction. It nudges you in certain things that perhaps you hadn't thought of doing. It takes you on a journey that perhaps you hadn't thought you were going to do. We need to keep and walk in step with the Spirit. I rarely talk about my experiences because it's not because they're that brilliant, any greater than anyone else's in this room. But I do think I want to talk to you tonight about how this has worked today, about how this has worked out in my life, because there's various ways, the nudges, the prompts, the words that God has taken me to the time where I stand before you now. You know, in this new chapter in my life, whether it's that inner voice of the Spirit, whether it's impartation through the laying on of hands that Paul was talking to Timothy about, whether it's prophetic words, whether it's scripture, whether it's closed doors. And I want to give you an example of each one of them. But they have helped nudge me. And God will speak to you and do things in your life in different ways, but you've just got to keep listening and you've just got to keep obeying. They've helped to nudge me to the place I am today, the inner voice. And my baptism at the age of 17, in a river in North Yorkshire, I sensed the clear call of God to pastoral ministry. Now, I have this opinion that new Christians can hear God better. I think the older you get, bluntly, as a Christian, the more crusty you get. Frankly, you have too many filters, too many questions, too many cautions, or that can't be God, too many negative experiences of when it's gone wrong, that you basically are much harder to hear when God is asking you what to do something. So I shared with an American evangelist who was over from Philadelphia, sat on a riverbank, that I was called to ministry at the age of 17. I told him that him and I were going to be working together in the future. He was living in America. 18 months later, he was living in North Yorkshire. We were living in a house together, and we were working round the area. And I guess that I felt after 10 years of working at Hollybush, I was part of the youth work at Hollybush. I was going out preaching, leading worship as a teenager. But I felt this obedience to the call, I needed to go to Bible college. Didn't have a word to go to Bible college. Never had a flashing light. Just felt it was part of the process of what I needed to do. And of course, that was where I met Karen. So in a sense, the first word had led to me being obedient and walking through life into the second. After 10 years, after 10 years of working at Hollybush, I was in a prayer meeting one night. And I just knew it was time for me to let go and step down. There was no reason for that to happen. Things were going very well there in lots of ways. But I told the pastor there that I was leaving. I was going to work my notice out. We were married. We had a mortgage. We had a baby son. And I had nothing ahead of me. Didn't have a job to go to. Didn't know what was going to happen next. But I followed the prompt and the nudge of God. And guess what? I ended up here eventually. But it was about 2.5 years, well, more, I don't know how long it was, 2.5, 3 years ago, that I again felt that nudge when I was here, that this was the time for me to step down from here. No word, no Bible, no prophetic word, just the inner guiding of God's Spirit. Listen to the inner voice. Impartation. Again, 17, 18, stood at the front, coming forward for ministry, always hungry for the things of the Spirit, always hungry for God to meet with me. I was stood there, an American who didn't know who I was, never met him before, had no contact with my church, stood in front of me and said, "Jonathan, that's a great name, means gift of God." So tonight you're going to receive an anointing for ministry. That's the last thing I remember as I lay flat on the floor. But I knew, with a conviction that God had called me to something else. There are many times when I've received prayer and help and ministry from other people. That is really important. Don't shy away. When there's an opportunity for prayer, please do not shy away from receiving prayer, ministry from others. The prophetic, these both took real time in my life. Again, early 20s, somebody at Hollybush said, "Jonathan, I believe God is calling you to prison ministry." The only prison I'd ever seen was Porridge, the TV program. I had no idea how that would happen. It was a few years later that somebody wrote to me about a friend of theirs who was in prison for murder, asked me to go and visit him, a guy called Paul. He just died last year. He was in for life. He gave his life to Jesus. I ended up visiting him, then ended up getting friends with the prison chaplain at Wakefield, who became the prison general for the whole Britain. He invited me onto the team at Wakefield. I then was the first free minister in the UK, paid by the Home Office as a prison chaplain in Full Sutton Maximum Security Prison. I took teams before I came to Sheffield into 5 different prisons every month. And God actually opened a door for me. But it took time. I didn't write to the Home Office for a job. God opened the door. I remember a couple called the Allams, who were a prophetic couple, who prayed over me maybe 25 years ago at this group at Connections meeting that we were at. I think Roland was there. And they prayed that I would have a ministry to work with small churches, that I would be moving around, supporting them, advising them, imparting, encouraging, and developing them. 25 years ago. I'm doing it now. Scripture. It was this summer, trying to come to terms with the change of seasons that God is taking me through, that I was at a quiet service down the south coast in Sussex at the end of August, where somebody was reading and asked us to reflect on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time and a purpose for everything, and said, "I want you to go and think about this." And I got to verse 2 and was read out, "A time to uproot and a time to plant." And I just knew that God had uprooted me. And I wrote a reflection, I've still got on my phone, about how it is difficult for a plant that's been established for 30 years in a place to be uprooted, taken out of its network of relationships, and actually at the moment still in a bucket waiting for what comes next. But that's basically where I am. So God spoke to me through Scripture, helpfully, through the prophetic, through people praying for me and laying hands on me, through that inner voice of the Spirit, and finally through the closed door. Because the only reason I came to Sheffield was the dream job I wanted, which had been offered to me, didn't turn up in time. So at that point, the Evangelical Alliance was led by a guy called Clive Calver, who wanted me to become the Northern Regional Development Officer for the whole of EA. That's 30-something years ago. I felt this was what God wanted me to do. I said I would go for this. He said Joel Edwards, who eventually took over for him, he was the church minister, he would get back in touch with me, and then they'd sort out what was going to happen next. Joel Edwards didn't get in touch with me, but Jeff Williams did. And I had no word to come here, no scripture, no audible voice, no prophetic word. Nobody laid hands on me and said, go to Sheffield. I stumbled over the doorway into this church, right? Just being obedient to God, faithful to God. And I ended up here. And 3 weeks after I arrived, the EA offered me the job. But I felt it was lacking in integrity to walk away from a church to do that. And the rest, as they say, is history. But I remember at Bible College, R.T. Kendall, who was a very famous preacher, he spoke on the Macedonian call of Paul, which was about closed doors and open doors. And the word that came to him was, that he spoke on, was learn to trust the closed door. We don't always understand why God has done something. I hope I see now, when I look behind me, the grace and the goodness of God in all this. But at the time I didn't, perhaps. Walking in the Spirit is not always easy. It's not always clear. There are times when you don't always understand what's happening. But it's true that we still listen and we still obey and we still go for those nudges. But walking in the Spirit is not just for individuals, it's also for a church. Because MCF is not where it is today by accident or by man's design. This has been God's purpose and plan, and who is behind it all and before it all. We're here today doing what we're doing because we've been walking with the Holy Spirit. It was never a good idea, it was God's idea. It's worth remembering, I think, that it's not just the leadership team who have revelation inspiration. They're not only the ones who listen to God. We should all be listening to God. And good leaders will always release the Spirit of God and the genius of the gifts of the Spirit in a church and listen to what's been happening. Most of the mission stuff that you see around you, or certainly a lot of it, didn't come from the leadership team, but came from individuals who felt God was prompting them, nudging them, calling them to do things. And the leadership got behind it at that time. Scripture says that we collectively have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16. One of the biggest decisions the early church had was the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, where they had to decide what criteria Gentiles or non-Jews could join the church. Would they have to keep all the law? Would they have to do everything that good Jews had done for many, many years? And they came with these big decisions at the end of Acts 15. But the phrase they use in the church, I love it, because a whole group of them are gathered together to come to this decision. They say, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Togetherness, collaboration, as a group of people with the Holy Spirit, to discover what God was doing. Of course, the first missionary journey, which eventually took the church into Europe with Paul and Barnabas, they were released to serve as missionaries by a group of people who had been fasting and praying, but who heard the Holy Spirit together telling them to release Paul and Barnabas to get on with what they had to do. How has walking in the Spirit worked out at MCF? And all these things I'm going to tell you have come from different people, as far as I remember, different words and different prompts. They've not come just from me or one other person or somebody else. Firstly, before I was even thought of, coming to this estate in the first place, from Millhouses, leafy suburb of Millhouses, to Batemore Jordanthorpe, that was a big nudge. And it was a sacrificial nudge that this church made. But they made it on the prompt of the Holy Spirit, on the basis of people being converted off this estate. That was a huge change from a middle-class church to coming onto, I hate to use that phrase, but coming onto this area. It was a big, big change, and some people didn't like it. I guess a bit later on, before we even had any buildings at all, it was a friend of mine in the church, who's not in the church anymore, he's been up Scotland for a period of time. who had a word from Isaiah 54, which we've often said, which was about enlarging the place of your tent, you know, strengthening the stakes, lengthening the cords, do not hold back. You may feel like a barren woman who's not doing a great deal, but suddenly your house is going to be filled. You've gone to two services here. And basically, before we even had a place, we had this sense of God telling us, you know, to be established in this area and to almost sing over it. And it was it's a word that actually helped us to think about even stretching out to get that pub. Because one of the things was spare no expense, if you read it's in the New Living Translation. I always thought it was a fantastic thought because the expense is going up, isn't it, everyone? When we came to this building, another one of the leaders who's no longer with us, serving us in another church, he had a vision that he kept talking about the piazza out there, but the precinct, where he saw the image of Ezekiel, the river of God flowing from this place out onto the precinct. It's Ezekiel 47. Of course, that river of God, Jesus says, is the Holy Spirit. Out of your innermost beings will flow. So there's a flow of the Holy Spirit going out onto this estate. That was seen very early on when we first moved here. You know, read John 7, verse 37 onwards if you want to get the idea of what Jesus is saying about this. But actually, you see, it's not the building, isn't it? Because the Holy Spirit will only flow out of Unit 3 if it's flowing out of the church, which is us in Unit 3. If it's flowing out the people who are being filled with the Holy Spirit, who are being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, whose overflow is reaching out and lapping up and causing fruitfulness out there on our estate. Andy was the one who brought the artesian well, saying he got a vision of somebody working hard on a pump. You know, we were working hard, doing stuff. And honestly, there's still a danger in any church, and I would say in this church, because of the efforts we all put in, that we rely on our own efforts of trying to pump the water so much. But I'm referring back to a word that Andy brought. This was about something springing up, a well of living water springing up, the Isaiah 43 thing. Again, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit coming forth. It's the Holy Spirit springing forth. This is why it's so important that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That we don't see it as an add-on. That we don't see it as something, well, that happened to me, you know, 20 years ago. I went to an Alpha course and I had a tingle or I felt a warm feeling. I mean, God help us if that's all we think this is about. This is about the work of God. This is about the purpose of God. This is about the plan of God. Don't settle for anything less. No well-worn paths is a book that Terry Virgo bought, but I think it was me that had this vision of skiing off-piste. You know, because we were thinking, well, how do we mission on this estate? How do we reach out on this estate? And it was about not just taking pre-ordered ideas and just, you know, using that, or that's worked over there, or that's worked over there. But actually discovering is listening again to that voice. What is God asking us to do? That we're not being asked to go down a course, you know, skiing down the course, but actually off the courses and discover what God was asking us to do. Not just relying on those well-known methods. And the fourth thing was the values which we worked through. Encountering God, getting involved, living generously, transforming community. I want to say to you, the journey for MCF has been bumpy, when I was leading it anyway, still probably is. But it has a walk, keeping in step with where God's Spirit is wanting to lead us. So I'm going to finish with coming back to the values, encountering God. That wasn't just about a once and for all salvation experience. But about us as the believers in Christ, seeking after him, longing for him, discovering him in our lives. And as an old man at my previous church in North Yorkshire used to say, if you're seeking God and he's seeking you, then you're bound to bump into each other sooner or later. I conclude, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not an option extra. Don't deny God's grace in this, and don't pay lip service to this. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives, Galatians 5, verse 25 says. Secondly, you have to trust and have faith that God does speak to you and he will guide you. And we all get it wrong at times. Be humble and admit it when we do. That's a good learning curve for us all, isn't it? It's always good to seek wise advice from other Christians over major decisions because, actually, let's be blunt, the heart is deceitful above all things. And what you really want, you often think that's what God must want too. And it can be very confusing. You convince yourself it must be God's will. But walking in step with the Spirit is taking steps of faith. As John Wimber said, faith spelled R-I-S-K. Don't expect God to speak to you with a megaphone, because he won't. He normally has this still, small voice that Elijah experienced in 1 Kings 19. It's more likely the internal nudge, the prompt, the reminder, the sense of peace, or the sense of unease or conviction, or a passion rising within you. And God will speak to you by other means, like scripture, through sermons perhaps, through songs, through prophetic words. And we should take note of those things also. Finally, we're not going anywhere unless we move. And I just feel really sad when I go to certain churches, and I have been to certain churches and churches I used to preach at many years ago. They're on the verge of closing. Because I would say to you, as the people of God, churches stagnate and become stale when they stop moving. They stop walking with God. Now, this series has been a bit like learning the highway code, maybe. Doing your driving theory. It's time to hit the road with what you've learned. There was a Scottish preacher who was trying to explain the Holy Spirit, said it's better felt than telt. And, there's something about that. I could talk as much as I like about this. But actually, this is your invitation and opportunity to be involved yourself. The sat-nav might show you the route, scripture, but you don't arrive without setting off and following the instructions. You cannot walk with God without moving. We talk about wanting a move of God. Well, that starts when God starts to move us. Move us. Move us. As I hand back over to Nick now, just wanted to encourage you, please take every opportunity during this series that is offered to you to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. God bless you.